bring you back. It's the power of your heart. Of your heart.
WMFO Medford.
It must be nice to disappear, to have a vanishing act, to always be looking forward and never looking back. How nice it is to disappear, float into a mist with the young lady on your arm, looking for a kiss. It might be nice to disappear, to have a vanishing act, to always be looking forward, never look over your back. It must be nice to disappear, float into a mist with a young lady on your arm, looking for a kiss. It must be nice to disappear, to have a vanishing act, to always be moving forward and never looking back. How nice it is to disappear, float into a mist with a young lady on your arm, looking for a kiss. Looking for a kiss. Thank you.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock. 815-915-9636. The phone is already ringing, so enjoy some Green Day while I deal with this. Back in just 1 second. Again, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. Chris Earle, your archive is done. It should be available for you to listen to up there on the interwebs. 855-915-9636 is the phone number for emergency information such as that. Big news today involving Joe Biden. Bernie Sanders. Sorry about that. That was big news involving everybody, every day. I know I said I was going to talk about the election before November, but that one bears some mention. We're going to get to that in a little bit tonight. Happy Wednesday. But before we get into that, I'm going to begin, as I always do, with what is happening locally. And I talk about fake news on this show all the time. And I hate fake news. You should hate fake news. Everybody hates fake news. Because what we don't need is a bunch of uninformed people running around saying, well, I heard this here, and this is a thing. And what's really annoying to me about this is that you have a local television station that does nothing but news, right? This is their only job. That's all they do anymore is news. And they got a story so horrifyingly wrong that it is just going to completely freak people out and fill them with misinformation and have people say, no, I have to do this thing. I have to do this thing. And it's like, no, you don't have to do this thing. So here's the story. This is courtesy of 7 News, the news station in Boston. It starts with a headline. Countdown on. Mass residents will soon need real ID to board an airplane. Let me read you this story, and we'll see if we can figure out what's wrong here. Massachusetts residents who want to board an airplane have 1 year to get a star on their driver's license indicating that it is a real ID, the Transportation Security Administration announced. October marks the 1 year countdown to the implementation of real ID driver's licenses and identification cards, which have a star in the upper right corner inside a gold circle to indicate that it meets federal regulations that establish minimum security standards. The upgraded cards will be required starting October 1st, 2020. Residents have the option to upgrade to a real ID if their license does not currently have the star. Those who stick with an older standard driver's license will not be valid to board a domestic flight or access secure federal facilities, including military bases and some federal offices. So that's the story from WHDH. Everything that I just read in that story is wrong. They are wrong. Flat out wrong. You do not have to have a real ID to get on a plane starting next October 1st. And they actually admit this later on, but yeah, I'm going to skip ahead a couple of paragraphs. And they say this, TSA officers who staff ticket document checking stations at airports will not allow travelers into the checkpoint without a real ID license after October 1st, 2020. Again, this is wrong. This is false information. And they sort of correct it in the next sentence, where they say, in addition to real ID cards, TSA officers will accept a valid passport, a federal government PIV card, and a U.S. military ID. Well, wait a minute. You just told me I can't get on an airplane. I can't even get past the ticketing gate without a real ID. You just spent 8 paragraphs telling me you have to have a real ID. Here's their opening line. Massachusetts residents who want to board an airplane have 1 year to get a star on their driver's license. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's fake news. That is a lie. Here's what Who got this right? I had somebody. Okay, so here's what CBS Boston said. Okay. Real ID deadline now less than a year away. Think you're driving, and they reprinted this from CNN, apparently. I don't know why they're reprinting CNN, but this is on CBS Boston. Think your driver's license is enough to get you through U.S. airport security and onto your domestic flight? Better make sure soon. On October 1st, 2020, travelers will need a Real ID compliant driver's license, U.S. passport, U.S. military ID, or other accepted identification to fly within the United States. That is correct. That is their second sentence. Or their third, if you count better make. They've got it broken up that way. This is their third sentence. This is still their lead. On October 1st, 2020, travelers will need a Real ID compliant driver's license, U.S. passport, U.S. military ID, or other accepted identification to fly within the United States. That's correct. And this is their headline. Real ID deadline now less than a year away. Let's go back to WHDH. Countdown on. Mass residents will soon need real ID to board an airplane. The headline is wrong. The headline is fake news. The first paragraph. Massachusetts residents who want to board an airplane have 1 year to get a star on their driver's license, indicating that it is a real ID, the Transportation Secretary Administration announced. No, they didn't announce that. They did not announce that. What they announced, and I actually happen to have the announcement here. Here's what the Commonwealth of Massachusetts says on their website. This is their second sentence. You'll also need to decide between a standard driver's license ID and a real ID driver's license. Real ID is a federal ID that you can use beginning October 2020 to fly within the United States or enter federal buildings. To get one, you'll need to provide additional documentation. And let me tell you something. The additional documentation that you need to bring, oh, my God, right? You got to show up with your driver's license, a passport, a couple of utility bills. I think you need to know your blood type. They're going to take some skin from the base of your neck. You're going to get a... No, I made that last part up. I shouldn't talk about fake news and then exaggerate myself. But this is a real problem, okay? Because here's WHDH, right? 7 News, Boston's news station. And the story that they wrote is completely inaccurate. And I can't, I'm trying to figure out how they got it this wrong. And there's two possibilities. Number one, they're writing fake news to scare people because they want the eyeballs. Or number two, whoever wrote this story, it doesn't look like this is bylined. I got a Frank O'Loughlin byline on here. Oh no. No, that's just the photo. They didn't actually byline it. So whoever wrote this and whoever got this entirely wrong isn't taking credit for it. That's smart. And that tells me that this is probably deliberate. Because what you have here is a terrible story that does actual public harm. Because people are going to read this, people are going to share this on Facebook, and they're going to say, you have to have real ID or you can't get on an airplane. That's not true. You have to have real ID or a valid passport. Either one of those will get you on an airplane beginning next October. This is from the TSA. This is from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. You can go to the TSA site, and they'll tell you that what WHDH said is wrong. You can go to the Massachusetts transportation site, and they'll tell you that what WHDH said is wrong. This article was published yesterday, by the way. 24 hours later, why is there still misinformation on a local news site? What's your point here? What's your purpose, WHDH? I never want to ascribe bad intent to anyone. I never want to sit around and say, you know what, they're doing this deliberately because they're bad people. Or they're doing this deliberately just to get eyeballs. But why haven't you corrected this by now? It's been up for more than 24 hours. It's been up for more than 36 hours because I read this yesterday morning. Why haven't you corrected this yet, WHDH? Why are you misinforming and misleading your audience? What's the game here? Are you trying to scare people? because you think it's going to get eyeballs? Or do you just have no one over there who understands basic journalism? Because everything that you have written here is wrong. Massachusetts residents who want to board an airplane have 1 year to get a star on their driver's license. No, they don't. No, they don't. You have 1 year to get a real ID or to get a passport. And if you have a passport, I have a passport, you might have a passport. If you have a passport, you don't have to worry about it. You give them your passport. Now, I don't know what this thing is with federal buildings. I don't know what the rules are around that, if they're going to take passports or which federal buildings are affected. I'm pretty sure they're going to let you into the courthouse. I'm pretty sure they're going to let you into the courthouse if you don't have real ID. Because that'd be great. You get called up, you know, you got to go to trial at a federal courthouse, and they won't let you in for your trial because you don't have real ID. They have to acquit you in that case. So I don't think the courthouses are going to be affected by this. If you work in a federal courthouse, right, your work ID will get you into the federal courthouse. If we're talking about a military facility, as a rule of thumb, you need a military ID or, you know, in those, if you want to visit a military base, right, you might need to get a real ID for that or have your passport. There's going to be different rules in different facilities. But the thing that impacts the greatest number of us is going to be what happens with getting on an airplane, because people like to fly around the country. And I'm here to tell you that WHDH has this headline is wrong. Okay. Mass residents will soon need real ID to board an airplane. Not true. Okay. Their first sentence is wrong. Their second paragraph is wrong. Well, no, because the second paragraph is describing... their second paragraph is wrong. The upgraded cards will be required starting October 1st, 2020. Not true. Not true. How do you get this so wrong when everybody else in town got the story right? This is the kind... This disappoints me greatly. And, you know, I make noise about fake news every week for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't want people walking around confused. Nobody should want that. Nobody should want to misinform the public. There's no benefit to that unless you are a grifter pushing some kind of an angle. And number two, it's bad for our society. So let me give you the authoritative version of this in case you happen to see this on WHDH or know someone who did. You do not need, a real ID is not required on October 1st, 2020. You need either, if you want to get on an airplane, this is for domestic flights, by the way. We're not talking international. You need a passport for an international flight anyway. This is for domestic flights. As of October 1st, 2020, you need either a real ID or a valid passport or a valid military ID. There are certain other forms of ID that are also acceptable, but most people around here, the vast majority of people aren't going to have them. You know, you're not... maybe the CIA is listening to the show. You guys know... Well, no, they probably are. But you guys know you've got your own IDs. You know, Secret Service, those guys. The big takeaway is, if you don't have a real ID and you don't have a passport, this is the way they should have said it, okay? If you think you're getting on a plane without a passport or a real ID next October, you're wrong. You will need one of those two documents to be able to fly domestically beginning October 1st, 2020. That's the way that I would have written that story. That's 100% accurate. And that conveys the urgency without misinforming everybody. And I don't know why they're misinforming everybody. I expect more from a local news outlet. You know, did somebody just not understand what was put in front of them? Because the TSA did not say this. The TSA did not say, if you don't have real ID, you can't get on a plane. They never said that. And as I pointed out, they contradict themselves in their own article. But they do it nine paragraphs in. Nobody's reading by that point. So I don't know what the game is here with WHDH. Obviously, something we got to keep an eye on now because, you know, we've got good local news outlets around here. We've got trustworthy local news outlets around here. And as a rule of thumb, when you've got some trustworthy local news outlets, it kind of forces everybody else to step up their game. You know, this isn't like the internet where, you know, we can publish anything we want. If we get a million people to look at it, we're going to make money. The local news is pretty competitive. They're fighting for eyeballs. And if WHDH is now fighting for eyeballs by blatantly lying to people, because this is a big lie, okay? This isn't like, oh, you know what? Cigarette smoking is actually good for you. No, this is a big lie. This is a big lie that gets everybody fired up because a lot of people fly. And a lot of people are confused about what's happening with Real ID next October. So you don't need WHDH walking into the middle of the confusion saying, well, if you don't have real ID, you can't get on an airplane. That's not true. Okay, we look to you, WHDH, Sunbeam Television, Chris Kraft, whoever's in charge of that mess over there now. We look to you to keep us informed, not to lie to us, not to get stories horribly, horribly wrong and confuse people. And when you do get something horribly wrong and confuse people, you should probably fix it within 24 hours. I don't think that's too much to ask. Get the story right within 24 hours and all is forgiven. You know, it's like, oh, our bad. We got the details on that wrong. Turns out you can get on a plane with a passport. We kind of buried that in the ninth paragraph. But yeah, it turns out you can get on a plane with a passport. If you have a passport, you can put off the real ID. Because believe me, nobody wants to go deal with the scrum at the Registry of Motor Vehicles. By the way, if you are going to get a real ID, this is another fact, plain, simple, straightforward fact, you have to go in person. You cannot get real ID online. And I would suggest that you check out the Massachusetts Transportation website. I'd suggest that you check out the Department of Motor Vehicles website. Find out what you need before you go to the registry. Because there are going to be horrible lines and a lot of frustrated DMV employees trying to cope with this over the course of the next year. And if you go in and you have everything and you're ready to go, they're happy with you. And you're happy because you don't have to go home and get more stuff or go stand in a different line or deal with any of that nonsense. So, WHDH, don't know what you're doing over there. I hope you correct the story. You owe it to your audience to correct the story. In other local news, the problem with socialism, and I know there are a lot of pro-socialist types within the sound of my voice. I'm not a fan of socialism, okay? I'm not a fan of socialism because it limits opportunities for people, number one. And number two, because it disproportionately impacts people on the lower end of the economic spectrum. It makes it harder to get out if you were at the lower end of the economic spectrum. Because although you're getting a lot of services, and it seems like you're getting a good deal with those services, you are paying for them. And a lot of people came to an unpleasant realization yesterday, today, maybe Friday, when they look at their paychecks. Because the Massachusetts Paid Family and Medical Leave Act took effect yesterday and is now hitting you in your wallet from WBUR.org. What to know about the Mass Paid Leave Tax and how it affects your paycheck? Oh, wait a minute. You remember the campaign for this? Right? We're going to, the activists come out and they're like, we're going to get everybody 12 weeks of paid family leave. Like, no matter what you do for a living, like whether you're driving, no, you've got to have a job, a full-time job, right? If you're driving for Uber, you don't get to take advantage of this, I don't think. But if you're, if you're a contractor working for somebody or if you're, part-time working for somebody, I guess, if you work for a small business that doesn't offer a lot of benefits, suddenly you get paid family leave. So the activists come out and they say, hey, we're going to get paid medical leave for everybody. 12 weeks paid. And they can't take your job away. And everybody says, I'll vote for that. I love that. Yeah, let me vote for that. I want that. Let everybody get 12 weeks off. Well, the only problem with socialism is you have to pay for it. As WBUR says, you'll now start to see more money coming out of your paycheck. That's because payroll deductions kick in Tuesday for Massachusetts' new paid family and medical leave program. The estimated $800 million program will make it easier for workers to take care of personal medical needs or family members or bond with a new child with less financial worry. The benefits will be available to every worker in the state and affect every employer. Here's what you need to know about the program and payroll. What payroll deductions will workers start to see now? The new payroll tax is 0.75%. Part of that tax will be paid by the employer, and part of it will be paid by employees. Workers will pay a maximum of 38 cents for every $100 they earn, according to the state. So someone making $50,000 a year could see a deduction of roughly $189 a year. The worker contribution could be less than that if an employer offers a more generous paid leave package. This is why I don't like socialism. If you earn $50,000 a year, you're going to be out $189. If you earn $25,000 a year, you're going to be out $94.50. Now, everybody who's written about this talks about, well, there's this at the low end and there's this at the high end. Like, if you make $100,000 a year, you're going to be out some like you're going to be out nearly $400. And it's like, if you make $100,000 a year, $400 coming out of your paycheck probably isn't a big deal. Okay? Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Because that doesn't have the buying power that it once did. Right? So if you're making that kind of money and you got kids going to college and you've got other issues going on, maybe you're going to miss that $400. If you're at the lower end of the spectrum, this gets to be a real problem. And I got somebody on the line, so I'm going to flip over. I'm going to take this call very, very quickly, assuming I can find Rivendell. There you are. So we'll be back in just 1 second here on WMFO Medford.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things. And you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.
There's a solution that doesn't involve socialism. Take care of your stuff. So, before that, I was talking about how much this is going to hit somebody, right? And why I don't like socialism. So if you make $100,000 a year, you're going to be out $400 in payroll taxes. It's not that big of a deal, all right? If you're making $100K a year and that's a big deal to you, yeah. Unless there's some extraordinary circumstances going on, I think you're protesting a bit too much. You know, you're probably one of these complete anti-tax types and, you know, I'm sick of the government being in my pocket. And look, I get it. I understand. I understand the perspective. But taking $400 away from somebody who earns $100,000 a year isn't a big deal. Taking $189 away from somebody who makes $50,000 a year, now we're possibly starting to get into a problem. Okay? That's a car payment. $189 is a car payment. $189 is probably 3 or 4 months worth of electrical bills for people who live in an apartment. Maybe it's 1 month of what you pay for heat in the wintertime. somebody's making $25,000 a year and we're taking $94.50 away from them, that's a very big deal. Okay? That's probably more than you spend on food in a week. And this is where I have a problem with socialism. Because socialism, and that's exactly what this is, by the way, this is a socialist program. The problem with socialism is that it doesn't discriminate. It is regressive. In the same way that I rail against any kind of fuel taxes, every time they want to hike the gas tax, anytime they want to hike the tolls, anytime they want to hike fares on the T, those are regressive. They penalize people at the lower end of the economic spectrum far more than they penalize people at the upper end, who just look at it and they're like, oh, I got to throw out another $5 every month. You know, my wife quit a job because the MBTA had gone up so much on their fares that she couldn't afford to keep the job anymore. This is what socialism does. Socialism gives you stuff, and that's great that it gives you stuff. But it also takes money away from people who may need it for essential expenses. And that's where it gets to be a problem. That's where this program gets to be a problem. And that's just the first part of it. Because we got to the second thing you need to know. What benefits do workers get under the paid leave law? Workers can get up to 12 weeks of paid family leave to care for a sick family member, bond with a new child or a newly adopted child, or manage family needs due to a family member's active duty military service. Workers can also get up to 20 weeks of paid medical leave to recover from a serious illness or injury. Okay, those are good things. Again, I support people getting 20 weeks of leave. Most employers, not all, but most employers are going to have some kind of short-term disability program, right? This is something that if you work for somebody, you really should demand that they have this. Because short-term disability will give you 26 weeks. You don't get a full paycheck, but you get some pay. And you get the time that you need to recover. And 20 weeks, you know, for most injuries, you're going to be back on the job in 3 days anyway. You know, even if you're carrying around your guts in a bucket, they're going to make you come back to work. But if you're getting cancer treatment or something like that, that 20 weeks is critical. Okay? Again, I don't have a problem with the benefit itself. I have a problem with the way that we're paying for it. Third thing you need to know. When can workers start using these benefits? Well, they're taking the money away from you right now. That started yesterday. The paid leave benefits, according to WBUR and the state and the law, the paid leave benefits don't kick in until 2021. Medical leave benefits and family leave benefits for bonding with a new child or managing family affairs due to military service will be available January 1st, 2021. That's 15 months from now. Family leave benefits to care for a family member with a serious health condition will be available starting July 2021. That's 22 months from now. So over the next 22 months, you better figure out what you're going to do with that sick family member because you're going to be paying into this and you're not going to be able to take advantage of it. According to Raise Up Massachusetts, the advocacy group that led the push for the ballot measure on paid leave, many workers are already planning ahead for these benefits. Quote, "We have heard from younger workers who are thinking about starting a family and looking forward to starting their family in 2021, Raise Up spokesman Andrew Farnitano said. Quote, "We've heard from workers who are caring for an elderly family member, a parent or grandparent, who are looking forward to be able to take that time off they need. Well, I hope that elderly or ill family member holds out for the next 22 months, because by the time this kicks in, maybe they're gone." And by the way, I will take things that no one said for 1,000, Alex. Nobody said, whenever you have a spokesman come out and say, "We've heard..." They're making it up. Or they heard it from one person. Like, who's sitting around saying, "Oh boy, I can't wait to start having sex with my wife in January 2021 so that we can start a family. We're going to be celibate and chaste until then, because if she got pregnant and had a baby next year, well, we can't afford to take the time off. You know, we'd have to leave the baby in a bucket or in the dog's box at home while we both went back to work. But boy, you know, once that family medical leave kicks in, we're going to start having sex again. No one said this ever. No one said this ever. Now, I appreciate where it comes from. I appreciate the idea. Yes, I believe, well, I believe two things. Number one, we have stupid attitudes toward work in this country, okay? And I say this as a fierce capitalist. We have stupid attitudes toward work in this country. We are working ourselves into an early grave for no perfectly good reason. And it is harming our mental health. It is harming our environment. It is harming our families. It is harming our communities. It's wrecking everything. Paid leave whether it's paid or not, okay? Time off when you have a baby. Time off when you're sick. Time off when you are the only option available to care for a sick family member should be a human right, not a privilege that is dangled by, you know, companies that throw around a benefits package. And then when you try and take advantage of it, they're like, well, you're not really going to take those 12 weeks off, are you? I don't know if we can live without you for 12 weeks. That may affect your future at this company, because that's what they say. You know, when they're recruiting you, when you're getting hired, they're all like, oh yeah, we got 12 weeks. We got 16 weeks of family medical leave, 20 weeks if you get sick and you have a kid. And they're like, yeah, you're not going to be gone for more than a week, right? You're coming back to work, right? Superstore did a great episode about this last season. It was very, very much on point. Where one of the characters gave birth and had to go to work the next day because she was going to lose, I think she was going to lose her medical benefits if she wasn't back at work the next day. So she's just given birth and she's back at work. And that's where we are in this country. All right. 12 weeks of leave should be a right. It should be a worker's right. And all these people who are campaigning for workers' rights should be campaigning for this. But we got to find a better way to pay for it than taking money away from poor people who can't afford it. Because let me tell you something. Those poor people, they can't afford to take 12 weeks off. They can't. They can't afford medical care. They can't afford to have kids. They can't afford any of this stuff. And we're going to take money away from them. We're going to give them a choice, right? You take $98 away from somebody who makes $25,000 a year. So now what? We're going to eat less? $98 is a new coat and boots for a kid. Okay? $98 may be the difference between going to the dentist and not going to the dentist. Maybe the difference between heating your home and not heating your home. This is the problem with socialism. And the socialists will sit around and say, well, just make the rich pay for it. You're not going to do that. That's the one thing they got right here, is they're punishing everybody, okay? Because if you make the rich pay for it, you know what they do? They get up and leave. Big story today in the New York Times about real estate values have plummeted in Manhattan. They're down by a third. You know why? Because it's too expensive to live there. And what you get in exchange for what you pay ain't worth it. All the rich are fleeing New Hampshire. They are fleeing New York. They're fleeing New Jersey. They're going to places like Florida and Georgia and out to the Midwest where taxes are very low. Because they realize, I'm not going to pay all this money in taxes and have subways that don't work and have crime in the streets and have infrastructure that's falling apart. Where is all this money going? The rich asked. And they looked around and they said, you know what? It ain't worth it. And they are exactly the people who have the means to get out. So when Elizabeth Warren comes around and says, hey, you know, if we just charge the rich, you know, if we tax the rich at 70%, we can pay for these programs. Well, you know, in happy-go-lucky fantasy world, yeah, that works. In the real world, the rich say, I'm not paying that. I'm gone. And they're gone because they have the means to leave.
855-915-9636
is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. Emergency calls only, please, on the telephone number. I have to let someone into the station, so I am going to take a quick break. It is Halloween season, my friends, which means the spooky music comes out starting today. And the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, that is October 30th, I will be doing a four-hour special edition. No big picture that night, just 4 hours of spooky music to put you in a Halloween mood. We'll be back right after this here on WMFO Medford.
I'm Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a quiz. Round steak is considered a good economy cut. True or false? True. Round steak is not quite as tender and juicy as some other cuts, but it has very little waste and can be made tender. Let the USDA quality grades be your guide to the right cooking method. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. With you until 9 o'clock tonight. After that, On the Town with Mikey D. We'll be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 remains the emergency number. Please, talk emergencies only until I figure out how to do this. I'm working it out how to grow an extra arm and an extra mouth, and then I'll be able to do everything that I need to do simultaneously here on the show. I met the governor on Monday night. I think I might have mentioned on the air last week that I would be meeting the governor. He's a tall guy. Like, if you've only ever seen him on TV, Governor Baker is like 6'3", 6'4", I think. He's a tall guy. And he is a very nice governor person. He's very charming, likable, you know, thoughtful. I generally don't have too many issues with the Baker administration, other than the one we're about to discuss. You know, I have to preface this by saying I did not ask him about the vaping ban. And you can call me a coward, and you can call me a traitor, and you can call me lazy, you can call me anything you want. There is a time and a place to ask a governor hard questions. And the situation I was in Monday night was not the time or the place to bug him about the vaping ban. There was chatter going on in the back of the room about it, and a lot of people share my opinion on this, okay? They're disappointed that the governor made this choice because it's anti-business and because it's putting people out of work. But there is a time and a place, you know, and I'm the first one to put up my hand and criticize people in the media for behaving badly. So I wasn't going to be one of those people. I wasn't going to be like, hey, what's up with the vaping ban? What were you thinking, guy? You know, there really isn't a nice way to ask the question. I did, however, ask him about fireworks. And those of you who have listened to this show for a long time know that I am apoplectic that Massachusetts is one of two states in our great united collection of states. We're one of two with a complete consumer ban on fireworks. This is my single issue as a voter. And so I said to him, why are we one of two? I always ask politicians this question, and I always phrase it this way. Why are we one of two states with a complete ban on consumer fireworks? And the governor looked at me and he said, look, there just hasn't been any leadership coming out of the state house on the issue. And I said, is it because of the fire chiefs? And the governor said, I think that's part of it. So this is what we're dealing with, is there is no one in our state, no state representative, no state senator, who is willing to take on the fire chiefs in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts on the issue of fireworks. And it bugs me because we are losing tax revenue on this. And we have completely unregulated product coming into this state because everybody knows what's going on. It, as I said with the vaping ban last week, no matter where you live in this state, unless you're on the Cape, you are less than 45 minutes away from a place where vaping products are legal. Drive to New Hampshire, drive to Connecticut, drive to Rhode Island, drive to Vermont, drive to New York. Where are you going to go? 45 minutes away. You got to get off the Cape. So they got a longer drive if they want their vapes. Or you got to take the ferry to Boston and then go get your vapes up in New Hampshire. But we have the same situation with fireworks. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for the fire professionals in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Our fire chiefs, our fire departments, our fire professionals do a fantastic job. I say this as somebody who grew up in a time when things caught on fire and people died all the time. It was just part of life that buildings were going to burn and lives were going to be lost. And Massachusetts has done a really, really exceptional job of keeping that under control. We don't have nearly the number of fires we had when I was a kid. We don't have anywhere near the number of deaths that we had when I was a kid. So I support the fire chiefs. I support the fire professionals. But on this issue of fireworks, I have to say they've got it wrong. It is 100% true that a state is safer without fireworks than with fireworks. No one argues that. But when you are the island surrounded by sharks, and the sharks are picking people off left and right, and you're sitting there saying, well, you know, we're not going to put up any shark fences, you know, because we don't need them. Just stay out of the water is your solution. That's not a solution. That's not the way that works. Because everybody in this state knows, they buy billboards. Phantom buys billboards in Massachusetts. They send you stuff in the mail. Come get fireworks. It is well past time for this state to get a safe, reasonable policy on fireworks. We need a compromise on this. And the fire chiefs are going to have to give a little bit on this. But we also need somebody up there on Capitol Hill or up there on Beacon Hill to take action on this. And I will support any state legislator, senator, representative, whatever. I will support anybody who is willing to fight this fight, because it is well past time that we did something about it. That is not... Okay, I'm done with that. We'll have that rant again later, because this issue always comes up every so often, usually around the 4th of July, because it's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense that we're the only state that has a ban on fireworks. And as of last week, we're also the only state that has a ban on vaping products. And I predicted last week that there would be lawsuits. And oh, there are lawsuits. Not only are there lawsuits, but we're making national headlines with this right now. ABC News, the Disney News Channel, has weighed in on this with a piece of actually half-decent reporting, proving once again that a broken clock is right twice a day. From ABC News, from the Disney News Channel, all you're missing is the mouse ears on the ABC Globe. They're going to add those next year, I think. Massachusetts sued over vape ban. Attorney calls it a death sentence for vape store owners. A handful of e-cigarette shop owners in Massachusetts are suing over the state's temporary ban on all vape products, arguing in court documents that it is unconstitutional. They're correct. One of them telling ABC News that his 7 years of hard work in building his business was, quote, gone in 5 minutes. Quote, the ban is a death sentence to all the shop owners, Craig Rourke, an attorney who is representing the store owners, told ABC News Tuesday. Quote, Monday they were selling totally legal products that they had been for years that were regulated by the FDA. Wednesday, if they continued that, it would have been a criminal act. In a lawsuit filed in the United States District Court of Massachusetts on Sunday, three shop owners representing seven stores are suing the state, as well as Massachusetts Governor Charles Baker and Department of Public Health Commissioner Monica Barrow, over the governor's four-month ban on all vape products that was announced last Tuesday. Rourke argued that a majority of the lung-related illnesses people have associated with vaping are coming from the unregulated black market bootleg products that are mostly used to smoke THC versus nicotine. Quote, all of the products sold in my client's shops have been regulated by FDA, he said. He is correct. Rourke said the business owners were given no notice that the ban was coming or chance to be heard. He is correct. Moreover, some of them, including Bahram Aga of Weymouth, exclusively sell electronic cigarette products and were effectively put out of business overnight. There is no way that what the governor has done is constitutional. There is no way that the government cannot simply come along and say, hey, you know what? You can't sell that anymore. What do you mean I can't sell it? You can't sell that anymore. Well, based on what? You can't sell that anymore. Now, the argument that the governor is going to make, the argument the Baker administration is going to make, is that, oh, this is about public health. We have a public health emergency involving vaping. Well, we do and we don't. And I've been following this story for several weeks, as you know, right here on WMFO Medford. The CDC still does not know the exact cause of these injuries and these deaths. What we do know is that they are overwhelmingly occurring in young people, and that they are overwhelmingly occurring in the United States. E-cigarettes and vaping products are sold globally. Whatever is happening here. It is not happening in other places. E-cigarettes like Juul and Vuse, the things that you would buy at a gas station, you know, next to the cigarette section, are regulated by the FDA. Okay? They don't have to go through the same approval process that other drugs and foods do from the FDA. Okay? But there are rules around what they can do. I think there are problems with these products. Okay? I'm not a huge fan of these products. But they are legal products. And for the governor to wake up and be like, you know what, we're just going to ban vape products. You can't do that. If it's under the guise of a legitimate public health emergency, then you can make a case. But that's not what they're doing here. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to bring you a couple of quotes from last week. These are quotes from the Baker administration at the time that the ban was announced. And Governor Baker came out and he talked about the vaping illnesses, and we're going to ban the sales for 4 months just to try and figure out what's going on. Okay? Remember when Donald Trump was going to ban people from certain parts of the world entering the United States for 2 months? Remember the outrage and the uproar over that? Where is that here? Why is it that one person tries to suspend our rights and it's a problem, and another person tries to suspend our rights and everybody's okay with it? We have to be consistent on these things. You have to continually push back on what government is trying to do, whether you agree with it or not. Because that is how you be a good citizen of our republic. Now, as I said, the Baker argument and this lawsuit is going to make the case that, oh, public health emergency. Well, this is where it's going to fall flat, because this is what Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito said last week when they announced it. Quote, vaping products are marketed and sold in nearly 8,000 flavors. I already talked about that last week, okay? I don't think there are 8,000 flavors in the world. I don't think there are 8,000 different flavors.